Sona, this was a very nice day today.
It was.
Because over here at our headquarters, we got this great gift, Tillamook ice cream. Yes. I'm a monster for ice cream. I know you are too.
I want to take a bath in it, and then I want to eat the bath.
Wait, what?
I want to like bathe in it, but then I want to eat it as I'm bathing in
it. Yeah, that's a simple concept. You made it much more complicated.
I know, I'm sorry.
Fill a bathtub with Tillamook ice cream. I will get in it, and then I will eat my way out.
Yes,
that's all you need to do.
There we go. Okay, yeah.
They have so many great, it's such good ice cream, and they have so many great flavors. I mean, just off the top of my head, I don't know. Birthday cake, caramel swirl, banana split, caramel toffee crunch, chocolate chip cookie dough. I think there's butter pecan, cookies and cream, French vanilla, chocolate peanut butter. Malted mousse shake, I think, is one. I can't remember too well. Mounted huckleberry, Tillamook mudslide, Marionberry pie, monster cookie, old fashioned vanilla, Rocky Road, Oregon dark cherry, waffle cone swirl, peppermint bark. I'm just going off memory here, but holiday sugar cookie, orange and cream. Anyway, so many great flavors and just incredible. You know, they really put, and they come in family size cartons.
Mm.
Also, you're in good hands with the Tillamook brand. They make over 200 different dairy products, and the brand is farmer owned and led by dairy experts. Find Tillamook ice cream near you at Tillamook.com. I'm going to spell it for you. That's how much I care about this product. Tillamook.com. This episode is brought to you by McDonald's. Not sure you've heard of them. Up-and-coming little restaurant. But they're making it. They're the little engine that could. You know, the moment of bliss when you spot your fries being scooped into the carton and suddenly time slows down. I have that all the time. I love their fries.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
McDonald's fries hit different when they're free. That's another thing I'll tell you. And when they belong to your friends. There's no better feeling than thinking you're out of fries and then you discover extra fries at the bottom of your bag. Or else my son still hasn't finished his fries.
Yeah.
And I'm done with mine. And he used to be weaker than me, so I could just take them.
Yeah.
Now I can't because he's stronger than me.
Oh, yeah.
There's no wrong way to eat McDonald's fries, but we all think our way is the best way. And I like stealing them from someone else. That's my favorite way. Get your favorite McDonald's fries today. McDonald's. Check them out sometime. They're everywhere.
Hi, my name is Nicole Byer. And I feel excited about being Conan O'Brien's friend.
Hey, that was nice.
I couldn't think of another word.
Fall is here, hear the yell. Back to school, ring the bell. Brand new shoes, walking blues. Climb the fence, books and pens. I can tell that we are gonna be friends. Yes, I can tell that we are gonna be friends.
Hey there, it's Conan O'Brien once again, assuming you've listened to one of these before. If not, I have no idea where you've been, but let's put that aside. Why start on a resentful note for no reason? Welcome to Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend. You can see now why I don't have a lot of them. This is the show where I use the podcast format in a devious way to find out if I can make friends, find out why people aren't better friends with me. Basically just use this to my own selfish purposes. And it's really fun. I'm having a blast. I'm helped, as always, by my assistant, Sona Movsesian. Hello, Sona.
Hey, Cones.
Let's go easy on that, shall we?
I'm sorry. That felt really awkward.
Yeah, it was awful. That was terrible.
I'm sorry.
Please. Are you ever going to go? But you never called me Mr. O'Brien, did you?
No. Even I call your dad Dr. O'Brien.
Yes. Well, he is a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And I call my mother Admiral O'Brien just for fun. yes.
No.
Even when we first met, you didn't call me. 10 years. You've been with me 10 years.
Yes.
The time we first met, I remember it very clearly. You didn't call me Mr. O'Brien.
No.
You were probably like, "Yo, dude," right? At our interview.
No, I think that when we first started working, there was a lot of professionalism between the two of us.
For how long?
I would say 3 months. And then you heard me speaking to my grandma on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And then you said, "What was that? It sounded like you were arguing with Dracula."
Well, because you were speaking Armenian and I didn't even know you could speak Armenian.
Yeah.
And so to my untrained ear, I thought you were arguing with a vampire.
Oh, okay. That's all. Was.
That wasn't culturally insensitive.
Hey, that was an interesting language you were speaking. What was that?
I thought that Dracula was mad at you for not bringing his native soil to this country so he could sleep. and that you were straightening out the problem. We're also joined by Matt Gourley, who's an expert on everything, I'm finding out. Probably an expert on Dracula. Did you know that he has to sleep in his native soil?
I did. Bram Stoker wrote that book in journals, in the form of journals.
God, it's, you know what? I said to Gourley just a few minutes ago before we started recording, could you do me a favor? When I know about something, can you not then reveal that you know more? I was kidding.
Yeah.
But you do have an incredible amount of knowledge. And every time I think, I've got this one, I know a lot about Ulysses S. Grant's second term. I know a lot about the Teapot Dome scandal. Gourley sits there like a cat that ate the canary and just licking his lips. And then you lean in and go, I actually own Grant's corpse. I bought it at auction. I'm like, what?
But I don't do this to one up you. I do this to augment and have a conversation
there
and
is
build
no,
a relationship.
There's no augment. There's no augment. There's only one up in my world. Mm. You know, you didn't augment. You one upped. You made me look like a fool.
I'm sorry.
In front of my loyal podcast listeners.
Well,
who are probably wondering why it's taking me so long to start today's show.
Let's get to it, Cones.
Ugh. I hate that nickname. Well, today I'm very excited because we're going to talk to someone I really, really love, and I enjoy her comedy so much. And I will say this, I do think she's the opposite of me in so many ways, and that's one of the reasons I like her so much. She's the anti-Conan, and I love her for that. Nicole Byer is here. Nicole. I think we have good chemistry whenever you're on my show.
Yes.
And this is one of the reasons I really wanted to talk to you on the podcast. Every time, uniformly, people are like, oh my God, get Nicole Byer back. It's so funny when you two are together because we, I don't know how to put it. We have like a good yin-yang kind of thing going on.
You're a very good straight man to my wackadoodleness.
I didn't know. Yes, it is wackadoodle. I did look it up.
Yes.
In Webster's, and it is wackadoodleness.
Yes, yes, yes.
But you know what is fun is you, you know, we all make a caricature a little bit out of our real selves for comedy. But the truth is, I am, when you peel away all the layers, I am a repressed person. And I am uptight, and I grew up in a world where nobody talked about sex. And so when I'm with you and you come out and you're this force of nature and you are the complete opposite, people love, you're hilarious. So they love laughing at all the things you're saying. And then I think there are laughs as they just cut to me and I look queasy.
Perfect. It's very funny and very perfect.
And it's based somewhat in reality.
Yeah. The way our interviews come across is the way my life with my sister is. I say a lot of wild things and she's like, please stop. My sister's very tiny and quiet and doesn't sexual things.
Please stop it.
Mm-hmm.
So that probably makes you go further.
Oh, it makes me so happy to say awful things to her because I just love her face when she's like, oh, why?
Yeah.
Why?
Why did you?
Why would you say that? Like, I love screaming at her in public places because she's like, no, I don't want this. It's just very funny.
Is she your younger sister?
No, she's older.
Oh, my God.
So she was alive for a while and then I came to torment her.
Yeah, yeah. She had some time on Earth, a brief time where she was at peace.
Yeah, she had a year and a half of being like, oh, okay, this is how the world works. And then I was born and was like, fuck that, you dumpster. I'm kidding. She's not a dumpster. She's perfect and wonderful.
She's perfect in every way, yet she has to feel pain.
Yes. Yeah.
That's the other thing, too, that I can, this is where we're similar. I can relate to, I love the people I torment. I think that is a misunderstanding. I mean, I torment my assistant, Sona. I do love Sona. I really care about Sona, but it's too much. I can't stop. And my dad called me when I was 5 years old. He said that his nickname for me was Tease Man because I would just go around the house and I would try and get to different people in the house. And I love my brothers and sisters, but I realized I had professional level abilities at a young age and I needed to use them and sharpen them.
It's fun to watch how something you do can affect somebody.
Yes.
Like, I mean, and it's not in a negative way, because at the end of the day, they know that it's out of love.
Yeah.
Like, my sister knows I love her and I'm not trying to actually hurt her feelings, but it's just very funny to watch the levels of her getting annoyed. Like, my dad's dead, but when he was alive, I would park my car at the end of the driveway so he could get his car out. So I'd park my car, he'd be in the garage, and I'd run to him in slow motion screaming, "Papa! Papa!" And he'd always go, "Why? Why are you doing this? Why? Please, why?" And that was just so funny. It's just funny that you can make people react in a, not a way that you know they're going to react, but like just getting a reaction out of someone is fun.
My mom is this, you know, is a terrific mom and was always a great mom. And she's still with us. And she's, but when we were growing up, she would have company over, and very loving mom, but I realized that I could make people who were visiting think that she was an overly strict disciplinarian by the way I reacted to her. Mm-hmm. So I'd come into the room and my mom would say, Conan, could you go get the lemon wafers so we can have with our tea? And I would bow my head and I'd go, yes, ma'am, I'll do it directly. And I'd scurry out and she would... Everyone would look at my mom like, what have you done to him?
That's so funny.
And then I would come back in the room and go, here are the cookies. Is there anything else? And she'd be like, no, Conan, it's fine. Maybe you could get us the spoons and be like, yes, directly. I kept saying yes, directly.
Directly is
yes.
Very funny. Yes, directly.
Directly. I think I was eight. And I just realized that, yeah, I can fuck with my mom this way and make her look bad in front of her friends. Like, why? I love my mom. I don't know why I was doing that.
Because it's funny.
Yes.
It's so funny to, like, you leave the room and you're like, what was that conversation she had with her friends?
Yes.
Do they all look at each other awkwardly or are they like, what are you doing to little Conan?
Yes.
Why does he directly have to get the spoons?
I'll do it directly. I'll do it. And a lot of head nodding, yes. And a lot of me shaking a little bit like, yes, I'll take care of it. But okay, let's get to the crux of the matter here,
right.
Which is, it's something that I both envy about you and admire about you. And of course, I find it horrifying while it's happening, is that you are so open about your sex life, your sexual desires, your sexual needs, as they were, and even the way that I'm describing it in a very clinical way.
It's very funny.
But let's get into that. You'll come out on the show and you'll say...
Yes, during the pre-interview, I think of the second time I was on the show, mm-hmm. I cannot remember the producer's name, but he was like...
I fire them regularly.
Oh, well, perfect.
Yeah, so just for fun.
Some little idiot who no longer has a job was like, what are you looking for in a man? And I was like, a big dick. And he was like, are you going to actually say that? I was like, well, can I? And he was like, say whatever you want. I was like, great.
Yeah, you came out on the show and I said, so what are you looking for in a man? And you said, a big dick. And if you look... If you look at the then they cut to me and you can actually see my soul leave my body and go up to heaven. My soul, I just leave. I leave my body and I go up to heaven to go be with my grandparents.
Perfect reaction.
I want to be with my grandparents.
You're like, this lady killed me.
Yeah.
It's.
And then my grandparents are like, what was that about a big dick? And I'm like, I got to go back down. So then I came back down to earth and got back in my body. But first of all, let's address that because I've always been assured by women.
Yes.
That the penis size is irrelevant.
No. Well, okay. Sometimes the penis size is irrelevant, but some people are size queens. I like a big dick. But also, I could do like a bigger than average dick. So not like a huge one, but like bigger than average.
So what are we talking about there specifically?
Well, I've never really held a ruler to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But
what if one had held a ruler to oneself? Then one might be able to judge by the numbers you give.
6 is average, I think.
Is it?
I think.
Oh.
I think.
Okay.
So 7's above average.
Am I perspiring?
No.
Okay.
You look dry as a cucumber. That's a saying, right?
I don't believe it
dry
is.
Dry as a cucumber.
Wow, cucumber. What an interesting image.
So you're pushing this paper further and further away from
me. Yeah, I'm trying to get away from you now.
Does it just say dick all over it?
Listen to me.
I can't have it near me.
Listen to me.
Yes.
So, yeah. I mean, I've often heard, you know, 3 is plenty. What? Where'd you go? She just left the room,
ladies
and gentlemen.
If...
Nine.
Three. And I've seen small ones.
Oh, you have? And what do you tell? First of all, I'm going to assure everyone listening, I'm playing a part here, having a little bit of fun. But man, I'm in good shape that way.
Conan's now fidgeting. He pulled his phone out.
I just realized that the phone was on, and I'm getting a text from my doctor. And hey, four. He says 4 inches.
Okay.
So there
four
we go.
4 inches is no, okay.
Yeah, I had that checked with my doctor recently. No, but okay. I want to ask you this.
Yes.
Okay, when you were with a man,
yes,
and then he did the voila moment, and it was not what you were hoping
the
for.
The voila moment!
Well, I'm imagining he was holding a magician's red blanket over it and then whipped it aside and said...
And he didn't say abracadabra, he said voila!
He said voila!
Uh-huh.
And there you saw less than what you wanted.
Yes.
What do you say in that moment?
Oh my! And he went, oh yeah. And I was like, I'm confused.
Okay, so it almost was going into his body practically.
Not like going in, but I guess it was like 2 little inches.
Oh my God.
It was very tiny.
Yeah.
And I didn't have time to be like, I don't want that. So I fucked him anyway, because that's what women do. We are kind, gentle people who won't insult you to your face. But you know.
Sona, do you want to pipe up here?
I don't know if I do.
Oh, you don't?
Maybe. You know,
you
mean
fuck.
When you're in it too far in. To
yeah. Well, you're like, I do want to. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. My mom will never listen to this.
No.
Yeah,
let's
I know exactly
assured.
What she's saying.
My parents will never hear this because they don't understand how a podcast works.
Oh, perfect.
And my dad keeps saying, we're looking forward to seeing that.
Oh.
And I keep saying, no, it's on. And he's like, is it on the radio? And I'm like, not really. You need a computer. So it's quite clear they're never going to hear
okay.
it. And Sona,
yes.
your people, they don't have a radio or a computer. So it's
yeah,
fine.
Your people have no technology.
My people. No, they have technology.
I meant your family. They're...
Oh, that's what you meant.
Yeah, the Armenian people. I love the Armenian people.
That's less offensive. You just mean my family's...
I just meant your family.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, no, they have technology. But no, I get what Nicole's saying, and yes, she's right. When you're in too far, you can't just abort suddenly.
You can't,
just because of
you
that.
You can't say, yeah. Wait a minute, that just doesn't measure up. I'm out of here and jump out a window.
Yeah, because it was my house.
That'd be great if you jumped out the window of your own
my
house,
own house.
And
like,
ran
goodbye.
Away. The house is yours.
You can have it.
The lease is in the desk. Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I do. I would love a big dick.
Well, we're getting
and a man with a
there.
Couch for me to sit on so we can just cuddle. That's I want that too. So it's not all about the dick.
No.
I'm so that's, sorry.
So that
you need a couch. It's
just, yeah,
just
I'm
a couch.
About your stand.
So the couch would be just. I thought you meant I need a couch too, where he will rest the dick.
No, no, yes,
a giant couch.
Yes, I want him to have such a big dick that he has to rest it on a couch, and then I get to limbo under it before we fuck.
Okay, limbo under the right.
Oh, no, that made you so upset.
No. I'm doing the math in my head.
Oh, okay.
This will never air. this will be sent out in a transcript form. And you'll have to get it in a brown envelope in the mail. But you know what? Okay, you know, penises, or as I think you refer to them as dicks, aside, Sona, stop your cackling.
You're so uncomfortable. This is my favorite thing.
I all of that aside, what I applaud is women saying what they want.
I'm just making up for lost time. I used to work a stand-up show in New York where it was mostly just men, and they would talk a lot about women's bodies, and I was waitressing during it, and I was like, this sucks. I hate this. So I guess it's my way of being like, I don't know.
Here's
some of it back at you.
Guess what? I love that. So let's talk about that.
You know who hates it?
Who?
Men on Reddit. There's so many Reddit threads about how awful I am. They're like, I can't believe she won't stop talking about dicks. And I'm like, I don't know. Men talk about titties all the time.
Yes, they do. And that's fascinating to me because I didn't realize. So you were working, waitressing in stand-up clubs, and you're watching guy after guy after guy go up and do material about women's bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're saying, all right. If that's how we're going to play it.
Yeah, why can't I?
Right. I love that.
Also, I genuinely love dicks. So, like, why not talk about the things you love?
I was just going to say it. You love the dick.
I do. Okay, let's talk about something else.
Okay, let's talk about
pussy. Yeah.
All right, you were married once.
Yes.
Okay, but it wasn't a situation. It was an unusual situation, wasn't it?
Yeah, I got like 30 grand in debt in a year because people just kept giving me credit cards, and I kept spending and spending. Right. I had nothing to show for it except for a lot of drunken nights, and then I was trying to figure out how to like pay it off without, because like if you pay the minimum, you're never going to pay off your credit card bill. So then I was like, I just like got the idea. I don't know if I saw it online or something, but I was like, ooh, green card marriages. If I marry someone, he pays me, I pay off my debt, and easy breezy, don't have to tell my dad. So then I got married, and then—
Who did you marry? Who was it that you got married to?
To a nice small Indian man. I won't say his name.
Okay.
The way I met him is so stupid. So my roommate at the time also got married for money, and she and her friend were at a gas station in Queens, met this man, and he jokingly said, I would love to marry someone so I could stay here. And they were like, we got a girl for you. So then my roommate and her friend, who I call Pikachu, picked me up in a PT Cruiser. So like the whole story's stupid.
Yeah, but you gave me a lot of information where I can actually track these people down. Pikachu and PT Cruiser, that's not a popular car, and that's not a common name.
No.
So I'm writing all this down for the police report. Yeah.
So then they took me to this gas station. I met him, and then we like got along, and then I hung out with him another time. Then I hung out with him another time, and then we decided to get married. We got married at a courthouse in Queens.
So there was no romantic relationship.
No.
Okay.
No. Then I had like my mail sent to his place, would like make appearances there. And then my dad passed away. And then I told him I needed some time in between our interviews. And then when I tried to contact him again, he just never returned my phone calls. And then I was like, I can't stay married. So in the state of New Jersey, you can serve your husband divorce papers, and all you need to do is to serve them, and you are granted a divorce.
So oh.
Then, yeah, my sister drove me to the Freehold courthouse early in the morning, and I was granted a divorce.
So did he then, this gentleman, have to leave the United States?
I don't know. He literally never contacted me again.
Wow. This is an interesting case if anyone wants to look into it. Were you scared at all about people, the law getting in touch with you and saying?
No.
Yeah.
I kind of just live.
You just live.
I just live, and if things happen, they happen.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I was a reckless youth.
You really are the opposite of me in every way, because all I do is think about consequences. I've never lived. Sona, have I ever really lived? Have I really lived?
No. He's never really lived.
I think, I worry, I try to live up to certain standards.
But you're very successful.
Yeah. I mean, there are many ways to be successful. I think there are, my journey, I have a long way to go on my journey. I think There are a lot of ways where I could chillax a little bit. Mm-hmm. Sona, is that the correct?
He's been a good boy his whole life.
I've been a good boy my whole life.
Loose.
And I think At my age, after the career I've had, it's time to completely fall apart.
Yeah, go to Amsterdam, get a hooker, take some mushrooms, and fuck.
Now, will you speak to my wife about this? Because I do love my wife.
Bring her with you.
She doesn't like to travel like that. Oh. And also, I think she'll be against several parts of what you just said.
Oh, okay.
I think the only part she'd be okay with is the mushrooms, if they were regular mushrooms on top of, like, a pasta.
Okay.
Not hallucinogenic mushrooms.
All right, fair.
She'd want them sautéed with garlic in a butter sauce, but she would be very much against everything else.
Okay.
And also, Sona will tell you this. If I did anything like that, I would just weep with regret.
Cry.
I would cry. But, you know, that's the joke Sona has with me, is that if I ever, you know, she would be like, oh, no. If you ever even thought about straying from your marriage, you would just start crying. Mm-hmm. And
well,
that's
true.
Well,
it's not straying if you bring her with you. That is exploring.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, you don't have to. Wait, you have kids too, right?
I have two children, yeah.
Oh, so you have like a whole life.
I do.
That's
nice.
I do
have a whole life. All joking aside, I'm very happy with my life. It's just I don't think I need to go to the Amsterdam, sexual romp that you described. I don't have to necessarily do that.
You could go to Joshua Tree, take, ayahuasca with a shaman and let him guide your spiritual journey as you wear a loincloth? I don't know.
I would
you
be
poop
upset.
A lot.
What?
When you do ayahuasca, you poop a lot.
Oh, really?
And you vomit all, for hours.
Yeah, I never saw the appeal of ayahuasca.
Every time unsubscribe. I didn't know that.
Every time I've looked into it, people say, I love how Sona's right in there with the pooping.
Sorry.
She's like, let me weigh in on this. Have you done it, Sona?
I've never done it. I know a lot of people who have.
Okay.
Yeah,
apparently there's a lot of vomiting. Apparently there's a lot of vomiting and there's a lot of, defecating, I think is the scientific
pooping.
Term.
Pooping. Shitting.
Okay. I'm like the librarian and Van Halen's come into the library and they're performing live and I'm running around saying shh, shh, and shutting doors and shh, and David Lee Roth is just, cause it's the David Lee Roth Van Halen that I'm imagining. And I'm like, please, please, the library's closing. Mr. Van Halen.
I don't know a Van Halen song because I'm very young and black. What? Can you hum one for me?
I probably can't because then we'd have to pay for it.
Ah, okay.
Go for it.
Never mind. Really?
Yeah.
Panama, dun, 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 Panama, Panama, she's got a sumo, machine.
Oh, boy. I wish there was a camera in here. Three older white gentlemen are really feeling their lives.
I brought my pencil.
Listen.
I've never heard that song one day in my life.
Nicole, please, don't tell me, don't try to pretend that 80s Van Halen isn't huge in the African-American community.
I don't think so.
Excuse me. I beg to differ.
But the Sammy Hagar version is, right?
Sammy Hagar. Who that be?
I think.
Who is Sammy Hagar?
Nicole, can I just tell you that there are so many black people listening to you right now who are embarrassed for you because they're all really into the Van Halen of the 80s. Oh,
good Lord. I'm letting my people down.
You are really letting your people down.
Oh, fuck.
You're going to be ostracized from your community.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah,
but
exactly.
But who is Sammy Hagar?
He was a guy. See, now we're explaining to you the replacement singer for a band you don't give a shit about. So what's the point?
All right.
You know, but I
don't know. Maybe I'll go home and listen to the Halens. The Van Halen.
No. You shouldn't. I mean, they have an amazing guitarist. Really just superb guitarist in Eddie Van Halen. And nothing but respect for him. But no, I don't think it's going to change your life. I don't think it's for you.
Okay.
What music are you listening to?
What do I listen to? I mean, I listen to a lot of Cardi B right now.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of, SoundCloud rappers.
Sure.
I like silly music with, silly lyrics.
Right. So you like silly rap? Do you like rap that's not taking itself too seriously?
Yes.
What about the boasting rap about, sexual conquest and all? Are you cool with that?
Yeah, sure. My favorite right now is Lil Pump because he's very silly. He just truly brags about what he has and that he went to Harvard even though he didn't go to Harvard. And that's very funny to me to have a bit in your rap career about going to Harvard.
Wait a minute. He has a bit about going to Harvard?
Yeah, he's like, I dropped out of Harvard. And it's like, he never went to Harvard.
I just love
so funny
that of all of the bragging that's done, you know what I mean? Of all the bragging that's done in rap, I've never heard someone brag about their Ivy League credentials.
Yep. He'll take pictures next to the Harvard crest when he's in Boston, I guess that's where Harvard is.
Yep.
Yeah, but he's never been. It's so funny to me.
That's so cool. I would feel that nothing would damage your rap reputation more than people knowing that you had even gone through that application process and hung out with a bunch of nerds, you know?
Oh, I also listen to a lot of Celine Dion.
Mm. Oh, do you like Celine Dion?
I love Celine Dion. I've seen her in concert. She's great. Oh, I love her. She does a mini monologue, a loose 10 in between each song. I love her.
She has jokes and stuff?
Mm, I mean, she talks. But a lot of it's just like, this is what I was feeling today. You will have to listen because you bought a ticket. I'm Celine Dion. And she said that a couple times.
And people
I'm Celine Dion.
She says, I'm Celine Dion?
Mm-hmm. It's like, bitch, we know it's on the ticket.
I gotta start doing that. I've gotta start saying, I'm Conan O'Brien.
I'm Conan O'Brien. Yeah, why not?
It's probably something I will be doing when I have dementia. they'll have that like on a card in my room.
Hi, I'm Conan O'Brien.
You did well. Here's your pudding. You'll come visit me, won't you?
In the hospital?
Yeah, when I lose my mind.
To make you change your will. Yes.
Wait, do you know what's in his will?
I don't, but
yeah, maybe,
whatever it is,
how do you
when
know?
You have dementia, I'll just bring it over to you and have you change a few things.
Oh, how do you know that?
I'll never leave you.
Oh, that's very sweet.
She really won't. We're besties. We're besties, right?
We're pals.
I said besties.
I know.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
Sona, where else can you go surfing and skiing the same day, huh?
I don't know.
Or check out a world-class art museum and then camp at a dark sky sanctuary that night, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, where else can you hike through redwoods and then get a luxury spa treatment?
Where?
Well, you live there. California. California, Sona. No matter where
California.
You go across the state, you'll find a way to play. I'm a California resident, so are you. Sona, you are a lifelong California resident.
I'm a lifer. I love this place.
This is a beautiful state. Gorgeous. So many different, wonderful ecosystems in one state. You can hang out by a Palm Springs pool. You know, you can go whale watching. You can go hiking in Yosemite. And then talk about the great cities in California. You get all this amazing food, sushi, whatever you want. They got it in California. Hey, if you can't find it in California, man, you got a problem.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have done that. I made that up on my own. Anyway, I love California. Discover why California is the ultimate playground. Head to visitcalifornia.com to start planning your trip today. You know, it's only a matter of time until your check engine light comes on, which could equal an expensive repair bill, and a new engine can cost up to $6,000.
Don't I know it?
But this is why you need this product I'm about to mention right now.
Okay.
CarShield. CarShield offers plans with low monthly rates that you can pay for your expensive repairs on your out-of-warranty car, truck, or SUV. It's so nice to have that protection of CarShield.
I know.
I believe. That's my belief. Some people have other beliefs, maybe religious beliefs. I think CarShield. CarShield plans provide protection on up to 5,000 major parts and systems, including items like transmission, engine, even your entertainment system. Mm. Just call CarShield and choose the mechanic to do the work. CarShield administrators will handle the rest and save you money. Look, I saw your car today. You've got a beautiful car, but you've got to haul your family around in this car. This is a vital piece of machinery for you. You need CarShield.
I do. And, you know, I don't take care of my cars very well. So CarShield, it would definitely come in.
You know, and also with their A rating from the BBB, don't ask me, CarShield is the name you can trust to save you money on covered auto repairs. Now's the time to make the smart choice and protect yourself from the sky-high auto repair bills. Visit CarShield.com/Conan. Save 20% today. Again, that's CarShield.com/Conan to save 20%. Visit carshield.com/Conan to lock in your price today. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. This is unbelievable. I've been talking about this idea for years.
I know. I want you to explain it more.
I can.
Okay.
With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. I had this idea years ago. I was telling people, no one listened to me. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems. Remember when I said that?
Yeah.
Because you've got one unified business management suite.
You said that.
Yeah. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math, man.
Yeah.
See how you'll profit with NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Conan, netsuite.com/Conan. I'm going to say it one more time just for emphasis. NetSuite.com/Conan. I've often found whenever I do something ridiculous, there's always someone who takes it very seriously and says, Conan just admitted to murder on stage. I must call the police.
Yeah, I think people are confused about jokes and sarcasm now.
Yeah.
I think everyone takes everything literally. And it's like, no, a lot of it's just a joke.
Right. It's interesting out there right now. We're going through a big change right now.
Especially. But a weird thing is I feel like people are getting sensitive about you for you. Like I did a bunch of fat jokes on my special, and when I was working them out, anytime I told one, people would just go, oh,
I know.
Oh,
yes.
You're not fat. You're beautiful. I'm like, well, no, I am. I could be both, but I am fat. You can't negate that. What are you going to say? I'm not black. Like, there are just things that are true. And then I had to figure out jokes to be like, here's a joke about it being okay that I'm going to talk about being fat, which is just, it feels like a extra fat that I didn't need to do, like maybe 10, 15 years ago.
Right.
But I feel like everyone now is so sensitive.
Yes.
That you kind of have to do that. But then I don't want to say that everyone is so sensitive, because it is good that we are sensitive.
No, but I think you should be allowed to talk about yourself. I have had the situation I can relate to. I've been self-deprecating my whole life, and I come by it honestly because I grew up with low self-esteem and a lot of anxiety, and then gradually overcame a lot of that. But that's a real part of my comedy. And then there are nights where I go out and I make jokes about myself, mm-hmm. and the crowd does it. They go like, no, mm-hmm. no, you're not a nerd, or no, you're not. And I think, well, I like myself. I really do.
Yes.
I do like myself at the end of the day, but this was just, I was just trying to make a joke.
Yeah, and it's weird that people think that I want to get on stage and have people go, well, I feel for you. It's like, no, I invited you to this dark room to ha ha ha.
Right. I actually find it refreshing that no matter how long you do this for and who you are and how much name recognition you have, the thing about comedy is that if you do it for long enough and you're out there, I don't care who you are, you're going to find yourself in a situation where some of your stuff isn't clicking.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the reasons I really envy musicians, because a musician can go out, let's say, just pick anybody, but just pick any musician.
Beyonce.
Let's say Beyonce. Beyonce can go out, and I can't imagine Beyonce having a bad experience on stage. Now, she can go backstage and say, I didn't like the sound.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't sound right to me. I didn't like the mix. The lighting wasn't at the right place. So she can be unhappy for different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like this dancer was a little off. But nobody listens to a famous musician and says, I like this, but this part of the song, they really lost me there, but then mm-hmm. they got me back. Comedians are judged moment to moment to moment to moment to moment, and it doesn't matter what level you get to. It's what have you got today?
And also, you have to continuously put out new material. Nobody wants to come see you. If they've watched your special, they don't want the same jokes. With a musician, you can play the same song.
Yeah.
For the rest of your life, if
yes.
people are happy.
People are delighted. Exactly. You can go out there. There's no, I don't see why they'd be nervous beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
Because is Beyonce really backstage singing, thinking, oh, I wonder if they're going to like Crazy in Love tonight. Are they going to like it tonight? Or are they going to sort of start booing halfway through?
Yeah, no.
She's not worried about that.
No, not at all. She's like, they're going to love this new arrangement because I was bored of how it was.
Yeah. I mean, she could just say the words quietly and
mm-hmm.
people would
and we'd all be like, this is fun for me.
Yeah. Let's talk about that. You bring up an interesting thing, which is happening now. There's so many outlets. That's the good news for
mm-hmm.
stand-up. The bad news is that you can spend a year, maybe a year and a half, working out an hour that you really like, and then you do it for Netflix or you do it for somebody,
mm-hmm.
do it for HBO, you do it for someone, bang, they did it, and then it's what else you got.
Yeah, then you have to start at zero and work yourself back up to the hour. That has been very hard because I put out a half hour, so then I truly only had to get a half hour worth of material, but then it came out New Year's Day, and the months leading up to it, Hollywood and LA is kind of shut down, so there weren't very many shows. So then I was like, I don't know how I'm going to figure out this new material. And then it came out, and I was like, well, I have to fucking figure it out. So I just did show after show after show after show, and finally figured it out, but it was a lot of work. And I don't know how people do it.
Yeah. I'm always amazed at someone like a John Mulaney who just seems
God,
to.
Yes.
And Jim Gaffigan, they just seem to, I think if you forbade them from doing any joke they've ever told before and said, yeah, it's against the law now for you to do anything you've ever said before, now go to your room, they'd be back a few hours later with another.
With like a full hour.
A full hour.
Nikki Glaser is a lot like that.
Yeah, Nikki Glaser.
She's a joke machine. Michelle Wolf. It's, I'm very envious of people like that. But also, like, I don't know their process. I don't know if they're just, who knows? It's wild.
I don't know. I don't think I have a process. Do I have a process? I don't think I have a process.
What are you, for the show?
I don't even think I have a process. I think I am.
Yeah, you, well, I mean, it's very collaborative. Yep. You are very collaborative.
Yes, I
think
I work
that
with
you
a bunch
like
of people.
To have a lot of other voices come in and give you opinions. You like listening to what other people have to say.
Well, I like them to start to give their opinion. And the minute it's not what I want,
you go, I like shut up.
I go, shut up.
We have to tell them it's, everything's good all the time.
Do you realize who I am? Do you realize who I am? Do you realize who you're talking to? All right, so I want to get back to your life because I'm curious if you're using the apps. Are you using the apps?
Yes.
Because that's a world that I've never lived in. I don't belong in that world.
You're very lucky.
Am I lucky?
Yes.
Because I don't know how I would deal with it. How do you deal with the apps? If I was on apps, I wouldn't know what was happening.
It's awful. It's like everybody has a billion people in their pocket and they're just swiping away. I'm on so many apps. I'm on Tinder. I'm on Bumble, OkCupid, Raya, Hinge.
I don't even know what some of these are. What's Raya?
Raya is an exclusive one where you have to apply to get on it. And then another member has to like vouch for you or whatever. And then there's like semi-famous people on it. And you're not allowed to take screenshots. Otherwise you get kicked off. And they put me on a waiting list for 2 full years.
Is that true? So are there celebrities on this? What's it called again?
Celebrities. Raya.
Raya.
It's a lot of DJs in Australia.
The lowest ring of hell. Dante did say at the very last level of hell, there's a bunch of Australian DJs.
Ugh.
Sorry, DJs in Australia, but you had that coming and you know it. Wow. So you're on these different apps. I'm curious, maybe this is just an idea I'm having right now, but an app for married men that don't want to fool around, but we just want to know what women think of us.
Oh my God.
That's what I'm interested in.
Honestly?
No, I'm serious because
that's a good idea.
Like, okay, Conan O'Brien, very happily married, loves his wife, loves his kids, doesn't want to do anything, doesn't even want to meet you, but what do you think? And then I would read the comments and they'd be like, he's got no lips. He's got beady eyes. I hate him. You know, whatever. I would probably read all those. But occasionally
you'd be posting all those.
That's true.
I mean, you could just ask for it now on your podcast. Start a Reddit thread about your opinions about Conan.
You know, his dateability.
His dateability. If you think he's crass, dateable.
His
dick size.
Well, no, let's not get into that.
I thought you were leading me back to that.
You know, would you do this guy?
Would you do him?
Yeah, you know, and then it would be a way that I could keep track of my relative sexual attractiveness or lack thereof.
But do you actually care what other people think of you?
That's why I'm in comedy. It's the only reason I'm in comedy. No, I too much care what people think about me, not in that area because that's not an area of my life I'm exploring anymore. But if I could change one thing about myself, I would have an operation. I've probably said this before. I would have an operation and remove the part of my brain that cares what other people think of me because it's too big. I care too much what other people think and, it's exhausting.
Yeah, it is exhausting.
And I don't like that aspect of my personality. I think that's what I would like to change the most. But yeah, in terms of my, sexiness, no, I don't really care. It's kind of a moot point. But everything else, yes. Which is too bad. That's not good.
Yeah, it's sad.
Oh.
I'm sorry. I didn't know what else you wanted me to say. It is sad to care that much.
I don't know if it's sad. I think we all care to some extent what people think of us. I don't care what people think about me, like, physically. Like, I don't give a shit. Like, beauty is subjective. Also, comedy is subjective. If you like me, you like me. If you don't like me, you don't like me. It's just when I'm in front of a crowd, that's when I care about what people think.
Right.
That's the only thing that really, truly matters. Acting is subjective.
Yep.
If I'm on a TV and you hate it and you're in your basement, that's fine with me.
Right. Oh, I actually don't. If I don't go on social media at all, because I'm always stunned when comedians or anyone tells me, I was on your show, but then I was reading all these comments afterwards. And mm-hmm. a lot of people said nice things, but one person said, you suck. And I thought, that is the last thing in the world I would ever do, is go trolling through social media to see what random people I'm never going to meet.
Sometimes
who probably
I do
don't
do
like
it.
Me anyway. Do you really?
Yeah.
That's masochistic.
Well, I'm waiting for someone to tell me something I don't know. I know
really?
I'm fat. I know I'm black. I know I might not be funny to you because it's subjective, but I'm waiting for someone to be like, your heart is black and your soul is dark and here's why. And then I'll be like, oh, okay, thank you.
Hey, you're right.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
I am the Antichrist.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for someone to tell me something I don't know.
You know another difference between us? I don't have any tattoos. I have freckles.
Mm.
But you get tattoos.
Yes, you have God's tattoos, and I have man-made tattoos.
You know what my mother told me when I was a kid?
What?
I had all these freckles. They were much more pronounced when I was a kid. I mean, I just was one of those kids that was just spotted all mm-hmm. over. And I didn't like it. And I told my mom, I don't like these freckles. Why do I have them? And she said, it's where angels kissed you. And at the time, I was sort of like, huh? And then later on, as life went on, I thought, that's just weird. That's weird and kind of gross.
That's so cute. But also, these are very tiny angels with very small lips.
Yeah. And there's a little creepiness to it.
A little
bit. Get off that little kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that many angels.
Yeah. You know, like, it's thousands kind of angels orgy, descended on yeah. me. And why were they kissing my low back? You know? You know what I mean? Yeah. Does anyone?
Yeah. That is kind of creepy.
Yeah.
Sweet, but creepy if you break it down and think about it.
But you, you've gone for the tattoos.
Yes. I have, I think, 15 now.
15?
I think. So I have a bicycle on my arm. Underneath it says little fatty. And then I have I have a little pig with wings, an elephant, a flamingo.
Oh, these are cute.
It says goodnight world, which is a matching tattoo I have with my best friend Sashir. On my butt, I have an ice cream cone, a lollipop, and a cupcake, and it says, it's sweet, just taste it. And then next to it, I have a hot dog and a hamburger, and it says, stick it in these buns. On the other butt cheek, I have a chili pepper that says, muy caliente.
Oh, my God. These men must be getting eye strain, like, just from all that reading.
Well, okay, I got it for, you know, someone to, like, have a break and have something yeah. to read back there.
Put on glasses.
But nobody's ever read it. Nobody's ever been like, well, what great jokes you got back there. No one's ever said it. And then I was dating this dude while I got the hamburger and the hot dog, and it was like taped up because I had just gotten it that day. And I was like, did you notice my new tattoo? And he's like, yeah, I noticed that you were bandaged, but I didn't want to stop fucking you to see what it was. And I was like, okay, so these are pointless. These are just for me.
Yeah. Well, man, that's incredible. That's an incredible number of tattoos. I think if I got a tattoo, I would get one tattoo, and it would be on my chest, and it would say, I was murdered. And then that way, the coroner, whenever I do go, probably of natural causes, they would have to investigate. Right? They would, like, take off the sheet and would say, I was murdered. And if you're the coroner, well, even if I was 88 years old and had pneumonia, you'd be like, we got to look into this.
But you'd have to get it tattooed to look like it was etched in your skin.
Mm. Yeah.
Because otherwise, if it's just in, like, typewriter font, it's like, oh, well, he's funny.
Oh. I would say, this is not a joke. I was murdered.
This is not a joke. I was murdered.
Investigate. I don't know. I think that's a cool tattoo to get.
I also have dumb tattoos. I have a bunch of tattoos that I made on Microsoft Word because...
What?
What kind of... This is Microsoft Word clip art. And then on my shoulder here, I have some Microsoft font. And then on my ankles, because I went to a tattoo shop, saw what it's called flash on the walls. I saw that and I was like, oh, they can only copy. I don't want what everybody else has. I'll make my own at home. Not thinking that everyone has Microsoft Word and it's widely available. So that's, and then I figured out later that tattoo artists can draw whatever you want.
Yes.
So yeah, I have one.
It's funny. It's just like saying
3, 4, 5. Five Microsoft Word tattoos.
It's like saying, I don't understand. It's like, well, I have the Exxon logo. I also have Crest toothpaste logo. I have the McDonald's arches on my ass. It's just, yeah, you're like a race car with corporate sponsorship.
Kind of.
Pennzoil. This has been fun. I have to say, I was really looking forward to talking to you because every time I talk to you, it's effortless. I love it. I have a blast, and I feel better afterwards. You know?
Oh, Conan, yeah. Thank you.
No, I'm serious.
I like talking to you. It's very nice. You are a very kind person.
Oh, thank you.
Like, my first appearance, you came to the dressing room, and you, like, gave me a hug like we were old friends, and I was like, oh, that's so nice.
Oh, that's nice. No, I think I'm a nice person.
Yeah, but you don't have to be.
Mm-hmm. No, I didn't realize that. I've had a lot of people say that to me. I just did a tour, this tour, and Ron Funches would say, "You're nice to other people, strangers," as if that was a weird thing. And I was like,
"It is."
Well,
when people get a level of success, they tend to like forget that other people have feelings. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I've met people who, you know, are famous or whatever, and they're not nice, and you're just like, "Ooh."
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I hope to never be like that.
No. Well, I, a lot of that, I don't know. I think it's I have really good parents. They did a really good job. So that's them. But I loved this. I really love talking to you. And I'm glad that you're excited to be my friend.
I am.
And I will say this. You're one of the cooler friends I have. You know, you really are. You're very, and I think you're going to help me on my journey. Because I think I need to channel not all of Nicole Byer, but like some Nicole
Just
Byer.
Just a little bit.
Just, I need some Nicole Byer in me.
Okay, here's something you could do. One day when you have nothing to do, wake up, put on a real wacky outfit. Ask one of your kids to just plan the day for you and then do whatever they want to do. And it'll probably be stupid because kids, they're dumb, you know? So, and then if you just fully embrace it and do it, you might just, I don't know, get out of your comfort zone a little bit.
My son would probably have me rob a bank.
Then, yeah, rob a bank.
All right, I'm going to rob a bank.
Well, no, like do a weird little adventure where you're not actually committing a crime, but like case a bank.
And then when I'm arrested for hanging around a bank and taking pictures, I'll be like, my son.
Yeah, be like, my son.
My 13-year-old son
I'm
told
bonding.
Me to.
I'm getting out of my comfort zone.
Yeah. I'm out of my comfort zone. That's why I taped the knife to my calf.
With the tattoo that says I was murdered.
Yeah. And then there's a tattoo. What's this tattoo? I was murdered. Investigate.
Look, man.
Well, thank you so much for coming here.
Thank you for having me.
Nicole Byer. I love her. I'm a fan. I love her. And I'm down. I'm down. What does that even mean?
I don't know, but that's very funny. I'm down.
I'm down.
I'm down.
I'm down.
I'm down.
You know?
Yeah.
Sona doesn't like it when I say peace out Tupac in my emails.
Or pay them bills. When what? You say that, you say pay them bills.
I never said that.
Yeah.
Like on an email?
No.
Or in person?
On this podcast.
Oh, right. We have
more than a few times.
We have recorded evidence that
yes.
I said that.
Oh, okay.
Well, I'm an idiot. Thank
no,
you.
You're not.
Oh, okay.
No, you're a very smart man. You're wearing glasses. That's how we know you're smart.
These are just drawn on.
I gotta say, everywhere I go, people are talking about Monopoly Go. And for good reason. It's an absolute hit!
Yeah. I love Monopoly.
People love Monopoly. And look, Monopoly's been around for a very long time. It's one of the oldest board games ever, okay?
Okay.
But lately, I walk around and I just hear like, Monopoly Go, Monopoly Go, Monopoly Go. And I'm like, hey, what's going on? What are you guys talking about? And they say, we're playing Monopoly Go. You can play it with your family, your friends. It's a straight delight. There's always something new to do. Partner events where you can build on each other's boards and crazy tournaments with team events you can recruit your friends for, or you can just compete to outdo them all on the leaderboards. Mm. And when you're not messing with your family and friends, Monopoly Go is always throwing new stuff at you. They have taken Monopoly to the next level. I didn't think Monopoly had to go to the next level, but they did. There's timed events like massive multipliers for all your winnings and challenges like treasure hunts or money sprees that have fun new mini games, plus with tons of rewards to collect, like stickers for trading with friends and hilarious emojis that are perfect for gloating. There's always a reason to dip back in.
Yeah.
Man, they cracked it, you know?
They did.
So join the fun. Download Monopoly Go now free on the App Store and Google Play. O'Brien Needs a Friend is sponsored by ADT. Now ADT professionally installs Google Nest products so your home is safe and smart. You can check in on your home and manage your security systems from virtually anywhere. Google Nest cams can tell the difference between a person, an animal, a vehicle, or with the Nest doorbell, even a package. You can know that there's a package out there.
I know.
And not a person.
You don't have to that do helps. Anything.
Yeah, sometimes a person rings the doorbell and I think it's a package. Anyway, and with Nest Aware as part of your monthly ADT service, you can get 30 days of event video history, even smarter notifications like when a familiar or unfamiliar face is seen. Plus, when every second counts, you can trust ADT's 24/7 professional monitoring. You can view video of an alarm event and verify or cancel an alarm with just a tap. Mm. I'm always setting off alarms accidentally. This is helpful for me.
Oh, good.
With the most trusted name in home security adds the intelligence of Google, well, you got a home with no worries. Go to ADT.com today or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP. Google, Nest Cam, Nest Doorbell, and Nest Aware are trademarks of Google LLC.
I think it's time for a little true and false with Sona, mm-hmm. my trusty assistant, because I'm finding that people are really fascinated with our relationship. It's not the traditional boss-assistant relationship. Would you say that's true?
Yeah, it's not the traditional, like, I'm scared of my boss and I respect him.
But, I mean, you have...
I'm sorry.
There's some respect there, I'm guessing.
There's some.
Okay. Well, this is a true thing that happened. I think you're just going to say this is true. I'm talking about a text that you sent me a couple of days ago.
Yes.
It was about your dog and your dog. Is this true? And this is true, right?
Yeah, yeah.
This is an absolutely true story. Your dog's name is?
My dog's name is Oki.
Oki after?
It's my husband and I were in honeymooning in Okinawa when we decided we wanted to adopt her. We didn't adopt her from Okinawa.
Right. But that's where you made the decision. So you call her Oki.
Yes.
And I've met Oki. Oki's a cute dog.
Yes. Oki.
Yeah, Oki. So Oki is the spelling, and that's important. So Sona sends me this text a couple of days ago as a work day, and the text basically says that Oki was really sick, because sometimes you do send me texts that say I'm going to be a little late because something came up.
Because I'm responsible.
Yeah, sometimes I'm going to be late because I'm going to go hat shopping, but because that's a 50s cliche I love to hang on to. Women love their hats. But you sent me a text in the morning that basically the message was that you were going to be late.
Mm-hmm.
But the text said that it was all because your dog had gotten sick and made a mess in the apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think you realize, but you have kind of a casual texting style, and you sent this text. So I'm busy in the morning. You know me. I'm working out. I'm shaving my chest.
God, ew.
What do you mean, ew?
I'm sorry.
That's a nice image for everyone out there. There's a lot of stuff I do in the morning to prepare my body for the day. No, I'm getting ready.
Oh, come on.
What's true? Various trimmings and various waxings.
Please stop.
Various abrasive...
Oh, God.
Abrasive emoluments. But anyway, I'm getting ready. And then I'm dressed and I'm ready to go. And I look at my phone and I see there's a text from you. And it says that basically, and what I see is that because of you spelled it quickly or whatever, I see okay and then the I is separated. And so what I see is... Okay, I threw up, and there's vomit everywhere, and shit all over the floor. Shit everywhere. So there's vomit and there's shit. So I'm going to clean it up, so I'm going to be a little late. And I looked at it, and I'm like, I typed back, what? Question mark, question mark, question mark. Because basically, you just told me, as far as I understand it, because I forgot your dog's name, and I forgot. So what I hear is like, okay, I'm sick. I've been throwing up everywhere. And then I started shitting on the floor. And then I shit all over the floor and then threw up some more and then shit in other places. So now I got to clean it up and I'll be right in. And I swear to God, I was thinking, I understand why she should be throwing up. I didn't understand why you were dropping your pants and shitting all over the floor. And then the part I really didn't understand is why you would then race into work. So I wrote you what? All these question marks. And you got kind of pissed like, what? Dude, my dog's sick. Right?
I know.
This is true.
You said what? Like you were, it was, I honestly didn't expect that to be the response. And I was like, what part of my dog is shitting and vomiting does he not understand?
Oh, okay. Not okay, I. But that is a typical day.
It
and that is.
Is
a true story. And I told my kids that story two nights ago, and it's the hardest I've seen either one of them laugh. And we have a no swear policy in our house, but I said, before I tell the story, I'm going to use the SH word because it's just a funnier story. And they were, obviously they were fine with it. They were like, yeah, go for it, man. But my son was doubled over, like crying, laughing.
Right. And when you said what, I remember I doubled down and I was like, Oki is shitting and vomiting. There's a lot of shit and a lot of vomit.
Yeah.
And I just kept repeating.
Right. I know. And it was a who's on first routine brought up to the 21st century.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was, I thoroughly enjoyed that.
No, it was good. It was before the day even started.
Yeah.
Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend with Sonam Ovsesian and Conan O'Brien as himself. Produced by me, Matt Gourley. Executive produced by Adam Sachs and Jeff Ross at Team Coco and Chris Bannon and Colin Anderson at Earwolf. Special thanks to Jack White for the theme song. Incidental music by Jimmy Vivino. Our supervising producer is Aaron Blair, and the show is engineered by Will Beckton. You can rate and review this show on Apple Podcasts, and you might find your review featured on a future episode. Got a question for Conan? Call the Team Coco hotline at 323-451-2821 and leave a message. It, too, could be featured on a future episode. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend on Apple Podcasts or wherever fine podcasts are downloaded. This has been a Team Coco production in association with Earwolf.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.